Seeing none, hearing none, I invite you to settle into these pews that you have selected, and then quietly, prayerfully begin to lift your hands, hearts up to God, so that God might hold them throughout our worship. Let us come to a time of worship.
Please rise, if you're able, for our call to worship. Good morning. Let us stand as we are able to call ourselves into our time of worshiping God together. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Please remain standing for the hymn number 138, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Holy.
Please remain standing as we confess of who we are. Sovereign God, we confess we have given idols of power over us, idols of power and wealth, fame and security. Over us, because your power is love. Call us to love our neighbors as ourselves.
And to work for justice, show mercy, and love one another in the name of Christ Jesus, our King and our Lord.
Amen. Our creative God fashioned us in his image, but he did not make us perfect. Will you please remain standing as we state our flaws before God and one another? Jesus came to us not to reign as king over us, but to serve us.
And to show us the way of God is the way of love. Jesus said the first would be last, and the last would be first. Jesus called us to become humble and serve one another, and that the most important commandment was to love God,
love our neighbors. Selves. This is the way of our sovereign. Go then, knowing you are forgiven, and love and serve one another, especially our neighbors in need, as Christ serves us.
Amen.
Hearing this good news, our hearts fill with joy, our burden lifted. We sense a sure and certain hope that Jesus will be with us as we seek reconciliation with one another. Reconciled, we are open to feel peace, which only Christ can impart. Hallelujah. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with
you. Morning. The Bible Dictionary defines stewardship as utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of his creation. Stewardship is also about serving others with your time and talents. There are many ways for you to help serve in the areas of need at Trinity Church. This is your opportunity to take a step of faith and increase your tithes, offerings, time, talents, and sacrificial gifts for the mission and ministry of Trinity Church. We hope you will continue your support of the church, and if you are able to make an additional gift beyond your normal amount, that would be wonderful. Please place your pledge card in the little white church in the narthex before or after the service. If you forget to bring your pledge card this morning, you can mail it in or drop it off by the church office. Also, we do have blank pledge cards back there in the back, if you forgot yours. Another announcement is this is the last Sunday for the Haiti donations, so there's a little mailbox in back of the little church, so that's still available there. We are so glad you are part of Trinity Church. Without your past dedication and generosity, our ministry at Trinity Church would not be possible. We trust God will meet your every need out of his riches in the glory that is found in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Lou. As you know, ordinarily we'd be bringing our pledge cards forward, but as he said, this year we're going to drop them in the little white church in back. This has been an unusual year, and yet this church has continued with its ministry in Christ's name, and Thanksgiving is being raised for that from me and from the entire finance committee. I would like to invite you to pray with me now as we bless these offerings and the church as a body. Let us give thanks and praise the Lord. O Lord, in this season of gratitude, we remember the courage and hope of men and women who came to these shores in search of new life. Most had left great difficulties behind, and yet as they began to build the new world, they faced other hardships. Yet they took time to praise you for the opportunities you offered them here, and they gave humble thanks for all you provided to them by which to live and live abundantly. We are deeply thankful for the lessons these people taught us. We are especially grateful for those who felt your call to form a new congregation from three here in this place. You gave these founders foresight and wisdom so they would make a space for future generations to come into community with you and serve in faith your world through helping Habitat to Humanity, Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, Eastside Ministries, mission co-workers in places like Peru, collections for the people of Haiti, and so many other ways. We thank you that you inspired the first members of this body to welcome one another into your new church home. We thank you for encouraging spiritual nurture through not just Sunday school classes, but fellowship dinners and uplifting worship services. O Lord, you have given us so very much, and it is with incredibly thankful hearts that we respond by committing ourselves to continued service in your name, as well as continued financial support of this congregation and its ministries to people here and around the world. Bless our pledges and help our gifts to be like seeds, which when planted spring forth new shoots of life, and strengthen each of us to help cultivate the life you intend for all human beings to grow and produce good fruit. Lord, we seek to be your good and faithful servants, as well as your compassionate yet strong children. Bless us and our gifts to your glory, so that we might praise you for years to come. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Gracious God, by your Spirit, tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do so we may better serve Christ our Lord. Amen. I would like to read now from John 18, 33 through 37. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice."
Thank you, choir. In this season of Thanksgiving, I give great thanks to God for the gift of your voices, your presence, your music. Thanks be to God. Amen. Today is Christ the King Sunday, or as some people call it, the Reign of Christ. Either way, today is the last Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday begins Advent. And we need to lift up and consider how we will start our path towards the cradle, who we will go to worship. So today, on Christ the King Sunday, we're going to hear about Christ as our King. From the book of Revelation, Chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will be on him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Every time I read those words, I am blown away. He who loves and frees us from sin, the beginning and the end, is coming with clouds to us. Wow. Words such as these remind us our God is more than a king. He is the ruler of kings, or so says the author, John of Patmos. And yet John also says this ruler who rides on clouds is also the one who has been pierced with the sword. These are strange and uncomfortable words, and they become more so when placed next to the story that Ray just read from the other author named John. No, they are not the same. John of Patmos is not John who wrote the book of John. Anyway, you probably noticed Jesus never really answered Pilate's question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" It was never yes or no. Instead, he cryptically replies and says even, "My kingdom is not of this world." Given the state of the world today, that is probably a very good thing. You know, very few countries still have kings. Britain and Denmark and Sweden all in Europe do, but they're constitutional monarchies. The citizens of those countries have learned that all too often the likelihood of having a decent sovereign and a decent chance at living a healthy and reasonable, comfortable life deteriorates greatly when power becomes lodged in one dynasty or one family or really one man. So why would people want to call Jesus the King of the Jews? Think back to your Sunday school days. The people of God suffered through nearly 40 kings before the Babylonians conquered Israel and Judah. 40 despot-type kings. None were good. They were more like Idi Amin of Uganda. Remember Big Daddy Idi Amin? Or Stalin? Or maybe the Tsars of Russia? Come to think of it, even though he doesn't use the title of king, I suspect that the supreme leader of the Taliban, Haybatullah Akhundzada, I think I said that right, is revered as king by his loyalists. Mm-hmm. Good kings are few and far between. No wonder Jesus didn't offer a more conclusive response to Pilate than, "My kingdom is not of this world." And just that quickly, you and I are able to see how different Jesus and Pilate are from one another. Pilate represents the emperor of Rome, the king of Rome. He terrorizes the conquered Hebrew people into submission. He encourages his followers, be they centurions or possibly Jewish priests, to incite and use violence to divide people. Jesus, on the other hand, encouraged his disciples to feed the 5,000 who had gathered on the hillside to hear him preach. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asked Peter to put away his sword. Violence can only bring more violence. And what kind of king edges violence in their communities? This last week has been filled with news of demonstrations against the military coup that recently overthrew Sudan's government. Now, while some believe strength is the only way to ensure obedience, others lament man's inhumanity to man. I wonder what Jesus would say about what's going on there. Unlike power-hungry Pilate, who sought to destroy all who dared to disagree with Rome, Jesus worked to build up community and offer hope to the oppressed and heal the sick and the lame. In humbleness, he washed the feet of those he led, even the one who betrayed him to his death on the cross. Now, please do not read into my words that I am a pacifist. I'm not. Jesus could show righteous anger in a violent way. We all know how he overturned the vendors' tables and he ran everyone off the temple grounds. That was pretty violent. There are times and places that call for strong action. Still, don't you wonder if Pilate thought that this man, who'd been brought before him shackled in chains, was pathetically powerless? Yes, according to most social standards, Jesus looks like a weakling, wandering around the countryside with nowhere to lay his head, teaching love one another instead of take care of yourself first, allowing himself to be taken prisoner in a garden. His behavior confused Pilate and can confuse us. And yet, in the face of all who challenged him, including powerful Pilate, the man held on to his integrity. He spoke truth to power. He said, "I came into the world to testify to the truth." For him, the truth was that God created all people to care for the earth and all that lives in it, that God invites us to become community guided by compassion and hope and the deepest meaning behind God's word. Yes, it would have been so much easier if Jesus had shied away from such talk. But knowing he would die for doing so, he chose to claim his role in the world. Jesus owned it. He did. And in so doing, he acted with the ultimate form of integrity. And that is powerful. But Jesus didn't just claim his role. He went on to challenge Pilate to consider his own actions, his own integrity. And he lays that same challenge at our feet, too. He said, "Whoever accepts the truth listens to my voice." Who do we stand for? Who do we listen to? Who do we follow? Who do we claim as king? Pilate or Jesus? In medieval times, clan leaders of Scotland, English barons and dukes all bowed down before newly crowned kings and promised to live and die for their leader. And in recognition of that promise, the king claimed them as his own. Thus, the lords of the land belonged to the king. So, who do you belong to? Pilate or Jesus? Now, remember, when you say you'll be loyal to a king, you're saying you'll listen carefully to that leader, doing your utmost to live as that king demands. With all the horrifying news from the Sudan and Poland both, I've been thinking about the life of faith and of Christians in places where those who deny Christianity as a faith and violent gangs threaten Christian life. And I wonder how I'd respond if I were in their shoes. Following Jesus can be asking for death. Could I live a life of integrity in a place like that? For now, the question is moot. Those things are happening thousands of miles away. So perhaps a better question is, how can I live into God's truth here? Here in Zanesville, how can any of us show that we belong to Jesus? Revelation tells us that God made us to be a kingdom, to be priests serving God and Father. So often we think of a kingdom as a place, don't we? But John said we are to be a kingdom, inferring that God's kingdom is much more than a place. You could think of it as that we are God's kingdom, K-I-N-D-O-M, God's family. The other night, I watched a show about the human brain, and the professor that was talking there declared that human brains rely on other brains to thrive and survive. Who'd have thought, right? Each of us bear a sense of neural interdependence that causes us to group together. And our ability to do the very best through cooperation gives rise to something much greater than any one of us. So he used a colony of leaf clipper ants to show us, the viewers, how each ant functioned independently and had its own job. All the ants did their job for the good of the whole colony, though. And now, if, as they are doing their jobs, one ant finds a leaf of particularly great value or taste, she sends out a chemical message the others sense, and then they follow that message to work on that particular leaf. But if an ant gets separated from the others, he moves about in distracted circles, confused as to what to do. He doesn't function well without the signal from the other ants to show him where to be and how to follow. So you have all these ants doing their individual jobs, right? Each one following a simple chemical message. And each one doing his best or her best for the group, even though none of them know the ultimate ends of the hill. Kind of weird, actually. But they all live well. They live well because of their connectivity. Greater good is achieved. The society's life flourishes. And research shows that our brains function much like the brains of clipper ants. We are wired to need each other for support and to bring about the greater good. We are wired to be God's kingdom. And as members of God's kingdom, we've been created to work together, to be in relationship with one another for the greater good. And through God's word, we are sent messages to help us do our individual jobs to help that good come about. God's kingdom isn't about violence or torturous pain or severed relationships. It's about belonging and working together for the benefit of all. Even the ants that we don't see or know benefit from our work together. Did you know that just as those Scottish lords profess loyalty to their king, the king in his turn professed care and concern for each one of them? They actually shared in relationship with each other. So we belong to God. Our God has created us to honor God's self and one another and to be a familial kingdom, a glorious dominion forever, and better yet, God's promise to love us and supply our needs, right, gives us great glory and wonder and the ability to be thankful to God for the gifts. We are in a relationship with our God, our King. We are in God's kingdom. As at the end of Jesus' earthly life, we too live in troubled times filled with anger and hatred of the other and fear, deep and painful fear. It's easy to respond to fear with violence. Yet as Christ's followers, we are charged through the word to help heal society. The question is how? Lutheran theologian Caroline Lewis suggests this. She says, "In the face of fear, I will love fiercely. In the face of fear, I will love fiercely. fiercely. She reminds us that when God's kingdom is built with truth in love and relationships amidst God's law, then Jesus as truth, for Jesus is the truth, will resound in our hearts. My brothers and sisters, we belong to God, the Alpha and Omega, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty, the ruler of kings. May we live with integrity to God's fierce love that poured itself out in Jesus Christ for us, God's kingdom. Amen and amen.
Please stand and join me in hymn number 555, Now Thank We All Our God.
Please remain standing as you are able to state your beliefs with me. These questions come from the Heidelberg Catechism. What is your only comfort in life and death? I belong, body and soul, in life and death, not to myself, but to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Why is he called Christ, that is, the Anointed One?
Because
he is by the Father and anointed with the Holy Spirit to be our chief prophet and teacher. fully revealing to us secret purpose and the will of God concerning our redemption, to be our only high priest, having redeemed us by the sacrifice of his one body and ever interceding for us, the Father, and to be the eternal King, governing us his word and spirit, and defending and sustaining us in redemption is one for us.
Let us pray.
Ruler of kings, Almighty God, we give you praise and thanks for the simple gifts of life. Families, warm homes, wondrous natural beauty, and even this rainy, almost wintry day. Thank you, too, for calling to our hearts, inviting us to gather together to worship you as one family. And thank you for drawing us together with others who believe in the hope of Jesus Christ. We know that in community we become better equipped to serve and glorify your name. So we ask that you guide us as your body to be good and faithful stewards of this earth and of the people and animals who live on it. Show us how to respect the resources of air and soil and water that we use so we may continue to live in healthy and faithful ways. We humbly ask that you help us to serve you well each day and receive the prayers we offer in Christ's name for the world you so dearly love. The news these days continues to bring stories of sadness, horror, and grief. Refugees throughout Europe are shivering, huddled in tents rather than sturdy, warm homes. We worry, too, for those in our own communities who have no electricity or water in their homes. We shudder to think that children in homes like these, or tents along the Belarus-Poland border, are suffering so greatly. Oh, Lord, please hold them close to your heart for comfort and help them find aid so that their suffering may be reduced. Lord, we pray you might also quell the violence that continues to engulf this world. Soften the hearts of those who are filled with hatred and overpowering pride. Calm their emotions and help them to find ways to become part of the greater good instead of harming other people. We pray, too, that you will enfold into you the comfort of your healing all who are grieving a loss or who suffer in body, mind, or soul. We especially lift up to you today Pastor Herb Perry, who is enduring some heart conditions that are quite severe. And help us extend our arms in kindness as witness to your love. We pray especially that we might continue to support healing communities among those who find it hard to live without using alcohol or drugs like fentanyl that disconnect people from you as well as from their loving families. Help each of them become more whole in your kindness. God of power and might, we ask that you hold close those we lift up to you in our hearts today. Provide for their needs as you alone intend, and always remind them that in you there is hope. And hear us now as we lift our voices together, saying the words that Jesus, your Son and our Lord, first taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
join me in hymn number 551, Come Ye Thankful People Come.
All is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Indeed, God is our Maker. But God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is also God our King. And through Christ Jesus, on whose day we celebrate the kingship of God, we have become brothers and sisters to our God. We have been called into God's community, God's kingdom, kingdom of grace and fellowship and love. Thanks be to God. Go out in joy to share this good news to all you meet this week, and go knowing that the love of God, the grace of Jesus the Christ, and the community of the Holy Spirit go with each of you now and always. Blessed Thanksgiving upon you all. Amen.